like it's been ages since we've done this. Hey, there's a start.
Doesn't it feel like it's been ages since we've done this?
It's been a week.
But doesn't it feel like it's been longer?
Podcast. I don't know.
What was the last one?
The last one was about D&D.
2020, right?
Yeah, 2020.
And yeah, it was about
2021.
Dude, this year has already been off to... Is it wrong?
I was wrong. I thought it was about D&D, but it really wasn't.
I mean, it was in there. It was a flavor that you could taste. You know, you have a chocolate, and there's like a little spice in there, something like that. Yeah, but we're not talking about chocolates. For me, 2021 already has not been that great-ish.
It's been like 5 days, man.
It's been like 5 days. Well, yesterday when work started again after I had my long break from just doing whatever and my sense of time just evaporated because my sleep schedule was the weirdest it had ever been in my entire life. I was waking up at God knows what time. I didn't see the sun for a little bit for a while.
Why were you doing that, man?
Well, when I don't have a responsibility, I don't observe time.
Good Lord.
I just sleep when I'm tired and I wake up when I'm not.
She got the general body times, you know? It's like, I'm getting tired at this time. This is when I normally go to sleep. This is when I'm waking up.
Well, I'm always tired, so I just give up at some point and lay in bed. Okay. Well, that was fine, and then I fixed it like right away, right when I needed to. And yesterday, all of our stuff was down for work. Our messaging board, Slack, which is like business Discord, the suit and tie version of
it. That's rough.
Our website itself was down, and I got like a crazy eye infection. I did take a nice walk, so it's good.
Nice.
So thank you guys for any patience you've observed. If you're somebody who actually listens to the episode as soon as it comes out at 7 a.m., thanks for your patience. This will be out at some point this week, whenever you're listening to it. Right now is the time that it's out. How's your 2020 Ryan?
It's only out whenever you listen to it. That's a good point.
It is only out.
My 2021's been good, dude. I've been chilling, doing a little work and doing a little streaming. My school, grad school, starts up next week on Tuesday.
Are you nervous?
A little bit. Starts at the day before my birthday, so that's a happy birthday to me, I guess. Two of my classes are like in person online, and then the other one is just like not even like a lecture course online. So only taking three classes. Yeah, all online, no in person class. I'm just chilling at home. I can already guess that some of these students and probably professors are like, what the hell is up with the green screen? What's up with the microphone, bro? What's happening? Why is there a cat jumping onto the camera? So I'm
sure they've seen the whole nine yards, man. I'm sure they've seen it.
Every time I hop in a Zoom call for work or something, they're like, whoa, dude, what do you do? What's this? I'm like, okay, I'm not. Like,
listen, man, I've been telling people this for ages. It's kind of the same thing for me, except just people aren't used to this.
Right.
Usually I move it around so that, and we're talking about our like visual setups, of course. Everybody's dealing with Zoom calls and whatnot. They got to peek into your home. For me, if you are looking, there's just a mic on a boom for both me and Ryan. And I've got to reposition it so it doesn't look ridiculous. But when I do that, it makes the boom arm more conductive to vibration. So noise canceling has to work hard. So when I record, that's why I have to have it hanging because it picks up
a lot less. But even still, I bet it sounds better than most other people. Most people just like hop on Zoom from their phone or from their laptop microphone.
Yeah.
And wearing nice headphones drives me
nuts.
Well,
I'm super curious because the noise cancellation for Zoom, I'm sure it's good. I'm sure they've got the leading software noise cancellation, but it garbles you.
Yeah, but it's also really got a nice noise gate, too. Luckily, if someone's got a fan on the back, and it's not... at least there's a little cutoff there. But when they do speak, it does blow you away.
It does blow you away. So, I mean, for school, though, man, it's been how many years for me? Like 52? And then you're just jumping back into it.
You've been a year. You're a year and a half. I'm a year.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's always been?
Because you graduated 2019. Half a year before me.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, 2019 in May or something like that.
Yes.
It feels like it's been so much longer. Both of our birthdays are... What did we record for the episode around our birthdays last time? I'm curious. We'll find that out later.
I don't know. I don't think it was anything special. I didn't know if we talked about our birthdays.
I don't think we did, actually. And in our email, we got something from our podcast host site that gave us like our metrics for exactly what we talked about in the 2020 episode last week. And I'm like, oh, thanks. This would have been great the week prior. Maybe we should have waited. I don't know.
Well, that's their fault for not being a little quicker. Last year on our birthday, or the day after my birthday came out, was Unearthed Arcana class feature variant.
Give you a nice present for that.
And then the week
it
after
led
that
to
was
something good.
More Unearthed Arcana, so.
It led to Tasha's. Hey, that's a juicy thing
that's
for us.
True.
One
and
time.
That will be some of the stuff we talked about today was in Tasha's.
Actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. And speaking of schooling and books and whatnot, I guess if we're going straight into it.
Nice segue.
Ryan, hell yeah, has been kind enough last episode to ordain that we speak of the wizard subclass or the full class and all
this. We've been dabbling for a little bit to consider doing a full episode on certain classes. And I think jumping from this as well, another episode we should do is on certain types of magic like evocation or, you know, stuff like that and our favorite spells and whatnot, because that can also be pretty important. Or just magic in general. We talk about each class.
If we're not just busting out, which I don't think we will, class after class after class, talking about different schools of magic after this guy would be pretty no-brainer.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
That's what this person's about. So, for reference, the big reason why I wanted to do this is in my D&D career, I have played warlocks. You know, maybe I've done a one-shot where I played a fighter or something else. It was nothing more than a single session, I swear. It wasn't her lipstick, blah, blah, blah. Warlocks are my tried-and-true favorite class to play. To me, I want to have a reference for other shit. I want to know when I'm making an argument about warlocks and why sometimes they suck, I want to know maybe some of the other classes suck and warlock actually doesn't suck. And I'm just,
or as you start getting more and more into DMing, you know, you can understand if your player is bringing a wizard to the table, you know what you're getting into.
Exactly. So sadly for me, I think out of all of the classes, wizard, without having read too much into it, is the most boring one to me.
Really? So before I read it,
I'm like,
open
that's
a player's
so
handbook. Yeah, you see all the different class and table of contents. You see wizard and you think, boring.
Well, my thoughts on that are, okay, you read the little blurb in the beginning and it says, wizards are their spells. Mm-hmm. Fucking almost everybody gets spells. Half of the entire cast can use spells. And all this guy gets is spells? It doesn't feel like it's got its own thing. It's just something that everyone else can do. He just uses
it. And we'll talk about it when I get to, but my boring class is the fighter. I mean, just hearing that, I was like, that sounds lame.
And it's basically the non-magic version of the wizard, you know?
Kind of, yeah, I guess.
Think about it. But I've played a fighter once before, so I know that's not my least favorite / most boring class. But wizard, I'm like, okay, you can pay money, learn spells, you have a book, which I did have at one point, so maybe I shouldn't shit talk that, but wizards, like, what even are they, Ryan, in the world of D&D, in a nutshell? What are they?
Okay, so that's a good point. So, like Braxton mentioned, a lot of classes have magic, have spells in certain different ways. The special thing about each class is how they get this magic, right? The cleric gets it from some divine being. The wizard, the warlock gets it from, you know, some otherworldly patron.
God knows where.
Yeah, it's gifting them this power if they follow some tasks. Paladin, divine as well. They follow an order. Then you got sorcerer. Their magic is innate inside of them. Wizards, on the other hand, have to work for their magic. They're not just gifted. They're not just, you know, tossed down the silver
wand. They don't have
the
easy life.
No, you have to study. You have to work for it. You got to, you know, go to school or study under some master, be an apprentice. And you have to constantly carry around your book with you. Granted, and we'll talk about it later, but your book doesn't have to look like a typical book. But you have to have something that condenses all the spells you know inside of them. And that's how you memorize your spells each day.
I want mine Breaking Dawn from the Twilight series. Just the hardcover.
Yeah, why not, man? You just take out the pages and rewrite some books in there?
No, just leave the entire thing. It's just that. And then I just
scribble. What spells are in that?
I don't know. Stuff with, like, maybe necromancy and whatnot. And yeah, maybe. I'm also a vampire. Can I do that? Maybe. I don't know.
Talk to your DM.
Illusion. We'll get there. So Wizard, again, like, for me, it's boring because of that. It's just, like, a guy who likes, or whoever you are that wants to study shit.
See, has I a love book, that.
And it's, like, I always want something to identify with when I'm playing as a character. Oh, I know, big consumer okay. wants to have relatable or, like, special stuff in his class. But for me, it's... The key I wanted to look at is the wizard-specific spells. Are there okay. a lot of them? Just only wizard. Wizard-only
like
spells.
Just wizard, period. I just don't, wizard, period. I without looking, I want to say that Wizards of the Coast has tried to move away from that in more recent aspects. I feel like there isn't a single spell that only one class can cast in D&D.
I think that's true. Should not be the case. I think, honestly, like, with the flavor for
wizards...
There
are class-specific spells, right? Are there features, their class features?
Yeah, I don't think there's any specific ones. But there's a good amount that wizards are a part of that they can only learn, like, 20 to 30 of them. 40 yeah. entries. There's 40 spells, according to this website, that wizards can learn that they have their name attached to. And it's just like... Going into this, I wanted to read... the class itself and see, okay, what they get at second level, fourth level, sixth level, whatever it is, and 14th level.
It's just the base class, not the subclasses.
Makes it really fun, the base class itself, because from what I know about a friend who I played with in a previous campaign, they weren't a wizard, they were a sorcerer. In our first campaign that me and you played together, we had a fighter, a warlock. Was it a sorcerer or a wizard?
In the first campaign?
Yeah.
We had a barbarian, bard briefly.
Yes.
Paladin. Paladin. Yeah, we did not have a wizard.
She was a cleric. Sorcerer. Okay.
No, there wasn't a cleric in there.
There was a sorcerer.
Oh, no, you're right. No, you're right. She was a wizard. You're 100% right.
She was. She had
a specific book. Yeah, it was a specific magic item I was excited to give her. Yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, so that's my only frame of reference. Like, okay, they can, like, do destructive spells and shape them around people and make it to where they don't hit them. I'm like, okay, that's
Which is nice.
But what are you other than your spells? You know? And I try to, like, be retrospective. And literally, if you take the book away from this guy, what do you do?
Yeah, you need your book.
There's even some mechanics to get it back, but just diving straight into it for wizards... and they even recommend, oddly enough, they probably do this for all, like, the quote-unquote quick builds in the player's handbook, but they recommend you have your second highest behind your spellcasting mod intelligence be constitution or dexterity for your skill.
Yes. Specifically for your health or for your AC to go up, because otherwise this guy is going to be a glass cannon.
And, you know, that's fun to me, but the only reason that you're picking anything other than con or dex as one of your higher stats is just because you're really wanting to have those RP skills.
Or you're going for a specific subclass, like the Blade Singer. You'd want dexterity up, or it says here, School of Enchantment, you want your charisma up.
They give a good amount of guidance.
Yeah, that you'd want to know ahead of time.
Absolutely. So the first thing that comes up here is the table itself. And my God, let me tell you, at first, looking at this thing, if you're like me and you've only ever played a certain class and you know your level list and I get these things at this point,
right.
For Warlock, man, I gotta work for those spell slots. I gotta work for them. And you look at this
slots
guy,
these guys get.
Oh my God. But for me, every time I level up, however many spell slots I can get that many spells. For these guys, it's not quite the case.
No.
But oh my word. This is one of the classes that has to prepare their spells. And every level, they get to pick two spells.
Yeah, they don't just know the whole list, like clerics. No.
Which always amazes me, to be quite frank.
Well, clerics are divine. Their gods just give them the power that you tap into it.
They're privileged.
Yeah.
No, they've got some hardships. But right off the bat, you're starting with a first level feature, some other stuff, three cantrips, and two first level spell slots, which actually, like, that's not a lot. But by 20th level, you've got 9th, 8th, and 7th level. 7th has 2. And then, what is this? 5 plus 4 is 9, plus 3 is 12, 15, 18, 21, 23, 25, 26, 27 spell slots.
Yeah.
But it's if you get to 20th level. I know that's really far away. Often. But, like, as a warlock, this is so many spells. That's all you do. So it's not,
also
like, it's
not
broken.
Counting your arcane recovery ability, which you get.
Shh, don't talk about that yet. I'm not okay with that.
I don't know. You get that that first level, man. That's one of the first. That's the first thing you get besides your spells.
Besides your spells, cantrips and whatnot, and other things that you have here. But yeah, arcane recovery, Ryan. Tell us what is this thing that freaks me out?
So once per day, after you finish a short rest, very similar to one of my good co-host's favorite classes. You finish a short rest, you can choose expended spell slots to recover. You have to be a combined level equal to half your yada yada, whatever. But basically, you can get some spell slots back after a short rest.
It's okay.
You can't get them all back depending on how much you get back. If you take two short rests, right, then you have to kind of divvy out how many you're getting back, while warlocks just get them all back, period.
But we only have two for, like, a long time.
That's your fault.
Okay, yeah. To be fair, anytime I've talked about warlocks with somebody or I've read it myself, it's like, wow, this is a really cool thing that I can just sit down and get my spell slots back. Like, nobody else has that. Wow. And nobody's contended with that point I've made, because I don't think many people play Wizard.
I mean, it's true to a point. Like I said, you get them all back, period. Arcane Recovery, you know, you have to divvy it out if you need to. You can't get them all back depending on how many you're using. You really have to kind of pick and choose.
So the spell slots can have a combined level equal to less than half your wizard level rounded up.
Yes. You can't just get them all back. And you can't get super high level ones back either with arcane recovery.
Yeah, but the fact that you can do it at all speaks that this class's weakness is losing that spellbook or not having their spells. This is a needed thing.
I mean, while warlocks get some, I mean, these guys get cool class features as well, like subclass features. You get, like, powerful subclass features. These guys, their powerful stuff is in their spells.
Well, the thing that I've noticed is Warlock is, it's like you're playing as somebody who is also making a class in D&D. They have, like, a bunch of Lego bricks and modules you can put on them. You can basically play almost every class as a Warlock. The Tome Warlock is like Wizard Light.
And kinda,
I'm starting to realize that as I'm going through certain things, and it's making me feel very weird about.
You think
my
Warlock should be our last one in the series?
Yes,
for...
we're not allowed to talk about it until then. Absolutely. Okay. So at second level, this is when you get your subclass or arcane tradition, and there's a good amount. Technically, I would believe wizards have the most subclasses, but they're more bare bones than the other.
At least the ones in the player's handbook are.
The very short. Very, very
short.
You
get, I want to say eight. Right?
Eight
there's,
of them? Yeah.
Eight schools. Abjuration. Yeah, so you get the eight that are the eight schools of magic, which is why Braxton said the next podcast could make sense if we're talking about magic schools. And that's it. That you specialize in a certain school of magic. And then the other subclasses that were added in Tasha's and Xanathar's kind of jump off in different directions. They feel very different than these, because these are specifically like, I went to school and studied necromancy forever. I had a master. And then you have Xanathar's that just tosses in, you know, war magic or something.
I like that they did that. I don't need them to have consistency with the quote unquote schools of magic, because a lot of them are a little bit boring. There's one. And I think we should wait to talk about the schools of magic till we like completely finish the things that they get. But that's like the majority of my points on this are within those. So after you get that, you get features with your arcane tradition at second level, 6th, 10th, and 14th, in addition to, just like with other subclasses, your base class itself. Ability score improvement, awesome. Spell mastery. Most of what you get in your base class is from those arcane traditions. Jumping to 18th level, skipping all the way ahead, you've achieved such mastery over these spells that you use. You can pick, I believe it's 2 first level. You get a first level and a second level wizard spell.
Yeah.
That you can just cast at their lowest level, so first and second, without expending a spell slot. And you always have them prepared. Or when you have them prepared, sorry.
Yeah, so when you've picked them.
How do you feel about that? What does that make you feel? Level.
Makes me feel is nothing,
it,
really.
Is that good?
It's not really good, but at 18th level, you have so many other things anyway.
Yeah, that's my point. So, like, what first and second level spell? It's not going to be a damage one, because that's a waste. Maybe. I mean, it depends. If you really need a consistent way to deal damage at second level, but that's not going to be a lot of damage at all.
I mean, you could, but it says you can do it higher if you want. You don't have to.
If you want to cast either a higher level, you must expend a spell size.
Yeah, so you could still cast it, but it's not for free.
Yeah, so it's just weird to me. This doesn't seem like it's strong at all. And then right off the bat, 2 levels later, when you reach 20th level, you gain mastery over 2 powerful spells and cast them with little effort. To 3rd level, always prepared in comparison with spell mastery. Don't count against the number of spells you have prepared. That's better. I mean there's some pretty great 3rd level spells.
This is expanding the strength of the wizard is their spells. This is expanding the ability to cast spells without getting, you know, wasting a precious spell slot.
Yeah, but it's like at 18th level. I mean, I guess, yeah, maybe you have 4 first level and 3 second. I mean, maybe that's not that much. Okay. Maybe it's good. It just feels really lackluster in comparison to other classes in D&D 5e.
What, like Warlock?
Just other things. I don't know.
Warlock. Braxton's changing his tune here.
We'll see. I don't think Warlocks are overpowered, but their 18th level or high level abilities are...
Okay.
I guess kind of similar to this. They have a Mystic Arcanum, and I lose perspective on a lot of things in this podcast when I zoom in. I have tunnel vision. It feels lackluster, but it fits within the vacuum of the wizard really well, I suppose.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Okay. Arcane traditions, Ryan. We touched on them a little bit.
Sure.
But again, within the context of the player's handbook, what are these?
So these are your subclasses, and we just go down the quick list. So there's some that aren't even in, like, those. There's one that's tossed into Wild Mount as well, which is a very nice, very strong class. We have, what are you laughing about?
Okay, can we stop, like, full stop here?
What?
What are your top 2 of all these, including everything that's officially released?
I don't know. It's a good
top
question.
Top 2, do you have that available?
I can think about it.
Mm-hmm. I can give you mine.
Okay. Well, let me explain them first. Okay, then you can. Okay. So we have Blade Singing, which is very much kind of like an elvish tradition that's been passed down. And it's, you kind of perform this secret song and dance. Kind of makes you feel like a bard in a way, but it allows the wizard to get up close and personal and do some fighting. And then you have the one from Wildmount, which is Chronurgy Magic.
Don't talk about that yet.
Which is manipulating the flow of time. I need to force rerolls, so you can stop creatures, and you can suspend spells and a bead and show. Yeah, it's very strong, very cool. Then we have Graviturgy Magic as well, which you manipulate space and gravity to kind of move your foes on the battlefield. Again, very strong, very cool. Then we have the Schools, which is the School of Abjuration, which is protective magic. So you kind of like put wards around people. And protect your friends and allies, protect yourself if you want to. You have the School of Conjuration, which is more of a kind of, you know, conjure, summon abilities. We have the School of Divination, which is a, you know, it's a weird school to think about because divination is very much kind of like you're contacting the higher planes and divining and thinking about stuff. But it just allows you to do these at a lower cost. And the fun feature with them is you get to roll 2 to 3 d20s at the beginning of the day, and you can use them to replace rolls that come later. So, like, I got a 16 on this one. Let's replace the one I got a 1 on. We have the School of Enchantment, which is very powerful and versatile, which gives you, you know, the ability to charm and hypnotize people. School of Evocation, which is the fun big boy fire spells and cantrips and all that jazz. You have the School of Illusion, which kind of, you know, makes sense what it is. It's elusive spells. You gain abilities to manipulate illusion spells and beyond normal limits. You have the School of Necromancy, which is, you know, raising things from the dead, doing dark deeds. The School of Transmutation, you can turn things into different things, wood to metal, and yourself into an animal, your polymorph, that type of stuff. And the final subclass is War Magic, and this allows you to kind of, similarly to, I would say, the Abjuration spell, or the Abjuration School, to defend yourselves against attacks and your allies, and you bolster up your spells just in a different way than the Abjuration works in.
And then there's some sitting around in Unearthed Arcana, whether they turned into other things. Like the Order of Scribes is, for some reason, still...
Oh, I forgot about Order of Scribes. Yeah, that's in...
That one's in weird.
Tasha's.
Yeah, we talked about it. Whoa. We still hold on.
You're right, man.
Still recording. Okay, we'll have to cut that out. 26 minutes. My audio device has changed. I hope it's still recording.
Oh, no. Can you see your waveforms going up and down?
Yeah. It just happened, so we haven't missed it.
You should be fine.
Yeah. Just want to make sure. And I can still hear you.
So you said you have a favorite subclass. What are your favorites?
This video is going to be weird. Enjoy that. My favorites are also, quote-unquote, what I think to be the best ones. We'll start with one from the Player's Handbook. Divination. Okay. Not flavor-wise, and it would be kind of annoying as a DM to deal with this, but I think this, out of all the other ones, has the most potent jokes.
Yeah, portent is extremely strong.
Yeah, I mean, you already went through it pretty much, but being able to change roles is an incredibly valuable thing to do in D&D.
Yeah, it's not even like you're adding a D4 or like a inspiration roll to it. You are literally just changing it. It's like lucky, but better.
Yeah, and expert divination at 6th level allows you to regain spell slots after you cast a 2nd level or higher. It's just like free spell, basically, just of a different level. And then the third eye also can give you a range of benefits, like for until a short or long rest. Whenever you do this at 10th level, you just can see into the ethereal plane within 60 feet. Mm. You can basically gain dark vision. You can see invisible creatures within 10 feet. That are in within line of sight, and you can read any language. You can pick any one of those for like an entire day to have at 10th level. I think that's a lot of fun. And then greater portent, which just makes it better. To me, I think this has so much utility and could be a lot of fun to use.
Yeah.
Now, the hands down best one,
okay,
is Chronergy.
Yeah. It's very
hands
good.
Down. If I were to play something, it would be this. This right here.
Yeah, I think so. I think what makes it so strong is because it's so different. I mean, it's like you're taking parts of the other subclasses and putting it together. I mean, it's kind of got like a portent feature in there, but a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
So you add your intelligence modifier to your initiative rolls, which is a cool bonus, not insane, but it's something you get as well. You can basically hold things. You could just pause them midair with time and whatnot. The 6th level one is, I don't remember if this one was the one that makes me think it's crazy. That's the one that produced them. So the Arcane Abeyance, that this thing is like what the actual living Christ. So he's laughing at me. Whenever you cast a spell using 4th level or lower, you condense the spell's magic into a mote, and you essentially get a little ball that allows anybody to cast this spell and release it. So I was reading online, there's a couple of Reddit posts that are just talking about, okay, maybe you've got a fighter and you just want to give him a haste spell that he can use whenever the hell. I mean, it lasts for 1 hour, so if you have the foresight to be able to cast this and just toss them before you get into something, these are basically like potions, pills that you can give to people. Of course, you have to use your resources and whatnot.
This is also not even... talking about the extra spells you get, because you get access to the whole Dunamancy spell list that Matt Mercer and all of them have created for their Critical Role games.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of them are very cool and very strong.
Yeah.
So you want to spice it up, players. This is probably the class you want to, the subclass you want to take.
I mean, it's definitely something, while reading it, I was like, I have a lot of ideas for flavor as what I would do for this character. I even made one. I don't know if you want to talk about that now or where you want to go for wizards. Because
my two favorites is definitely Chronergy and then the Order of the Scribes.
Really, the Scribes?
Yeah, because I as a wizard, I want to collect every damn spell in the world, and then that's what Order of the Scribes is, the typical stereotypical wizard, and it's a beautiful, perfect version of it.
It's also got, so ironically, the most text of all of the schools that you can do.
Yeah. So I like it.
So it's just a little meta. Oh,
yeah, I like text.
Meta there for me. That's ironic, too, is that it's kind of the most typical wizard, because it hasn't even been a thing until Arnard Sakana and then Tasha's itself.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the typical schools because I don't like special. I mean, I guess if you're being a wizard, you want to kind of, you can think about it. Your master, your school specialize in a specific type of magic, but I don't like specialize, and I want to collect them all. You know, I'm like a Pokemon player.
I mean, that's a great point too, and it's, you get bonuses for those types of spells, but you're not prevented from selecting spells outside of that school at all. Which
if we get into
the
feats, there is a feat that, like, I don't remember what it's called, but it helps you with specific elemental ones. If you can choose a specific element, and again, it's cool if you're focusing on like fire spells, but odds are you're using other spells too. So I don't think it's a good feat. I don't like focusing on specific stuff unless you really want to role play that type of character.
Yeah, I mean, that's my case. I mean, for the Chronergy one, I would pick any and every time based spell that shows up at all.
Definitely.
And anything that involves messing with that. But still, I would get any and all spells that I could snag onto. The Necromancy one was interesting to me too as well, but it's, the thing with like Necromancy and raising things depends on you being able to kill those things too. So you have to have like done great already in an encounter and then get this. Mm. A lot of the other classes are just like, they do good flat off the bat. So
I just feel like there's other classes that do that type of stuff better.
They definitely do. I mean, wizards themselves, like, I still do think they're one of the more boring classes. Well, anybody can do what they do. Anybody.
Well, I don't know about that, man.
Anybody can do what they do. Outside of their specific class features, which can be said for anything, most of it just gives them an extra spell slot or makes them cast a spell slightly better.
Yeah, but you can just go find, you can find someone else's book of spells or find a scroll and write that bad boy down into your own spell book to use for later. Eh. No other class can do that.
Eh. Yeah, they can. Warlocks can do that with ritual spells.
Yeah, you can only do ritual spells. But these guys can do them all.
Yeah, but everybody can use these spells at any point. Any other person can use it. Nah. There's not a single thing that's unique to wizards other than that.
That's not true at all.
It's very true.
He's just spouting off misinformation.
This is, okay. This is my least favorite class in all of D&D. Maybe it'll change as we go through everything. Yes, even the ranger with their stock shit. It's, I get the flavor. I know Ryan loves the flavor.
All right, okay, well, let's say we're making a character, okay?
Okay, I've done that.
So we're going through character creation. We probably should do a full episode on character creation, or we're thinking about maybe waiting until if Braxton comes down here again, we'll make like a YouTube video, because it probably won't take up a full episode.
No.
So you're making a character, and you decide, hey, the wizard looks interesting. Let's head that direction. What stat do you want to put up?
Intelligence.
Intelligence. Yeah, we already kind of talked about this. You want to have your intelligence near the top, then you can put Connor Dex second. Or, you know, if you want to get weird with it, you could put something else if you really want to. Don't put him in the strength. You don't need strength as a wizard.
You're multi-classing.
True, but we're not getting into multi-class, and that's making your character.
Just a wizard.
So you've done that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what race? Have you done any thinking about this? What race would you go in for a wizard?
Well, this is specifically for Chronergy stuff, but
sure. It would things go for most wizards.
Yeah. Things I was considering, of course, would be elf.
And this is specifically talking about ways that would help character, not like role playing or anything. Yeah. This is like stuff
if you're
for
just
wizards.
Looking for bonuses and whatnot. But of course, elves as they get a bonus in their intelligence mod.
Just the regular high elf.
Yep.
From the player's handbook.
Of course, half elf you could always do. Some of the gnomes are great. They don't get bonuses
are nice. Yeah,
but they get this feature that allows them to resist certain stuff. which is
great. I'd arguably say the Forest Gnome is one of the best wizards because you get a little dex bonus to help out your AC.
Yep.
And you get Minor Illusion as a cantrip, which is always nice.
I picked, though, for the character that I wanted to go with, one of the Genasi.
Okay, so you're whipping out from the old other book?
Yeah.
Which Genasi? So,
the fire one specifically.
Yes, yeah, that's a good one.
I love all of them, to be quite frank. Yeah, but none of them. Fire does get the intelligence bonus in addition to...
Yeah, the other three, I would say, are not good for wizards.
No. Which is why I picked it.
Makes sense.
And they also get a +2 to constitution just in general for being a Genasi. More health is great.
Burning hands?
Yes. So I'll full stop there before I get ahead of myself. What's next?
Oh, after race?
I mean, yeah.
That's pretty much
that's it. Okay.
I mean, I guess you get into your skills. What skills would you say are important?
Skills. The ones I picked, I believe, were...
Like proficiencies.
Yeah, arcana and investigation.
Okay, yeah.
Going full, like, basic wizard, those two, to me, make a lot of sense. I'm inquisitive. I want to investigate.
History could be good. If your campaign is good for... You know, if you're a DM, you know, you likes going into history stuff. Not all DMs do, so be careful. No. I think Arcana definitely needs to be picked for a wizard, period, no matter which direction you're going in. Insight could be good, but if you don't find enough wisdom, probably no point to it.
I avoided anything with wisdom.
Yeah. Investigation's always very strong. Religion could be strong, again, depending on the campaign, or if you have a cleric, someone in the party. I think those are the top skills you'd probably want to focus on. Absolutely. Backgrounds? What backgrounds do you go for?
Sage is always a super boring one that you can pick.
But the one you should go for, wizard. Yeah.
I mean, the player's handbook suggests it.
Yeah, there's one in Sword Coast's adventure guide called Cloistered Scholar, which is very nice too.
Cloistered
Scholar. Yeah, you get some knowledge skills. You get some bonus languages. But I mean, it's not much different than the sage.
Yeah. So once you, hit level 2, you're thinking about what school you're going to go into. What I want you to do is go into your wallet, get $30, go on D&D Beyond or on Amazon and buy Wildemount. And
probably should do it anyway. It's a good book.
Yeah. Pick the Chronergy one and then just go with it.
Yeah, and you could almost say you don't need the book. You could get it off of, you know, you'd buy it. But the problem is the book also has all the extra spells, so you probably do need the full book.
Yeah, it just depends on your moral obligations and what you feel like doing. I almost bought it just for this because, like, I'm probably going to play a cringy wizard at some point in my life now.
I don't feel like you have to because I know Braxton's been this way before. Not with the book. He's felt this way before about like stuff in with the Artificer when it was specific to Eberron. They do a very good job of not making it feel like it's just specific to Matt Mercer's world. And to be fair, Wildemount and I don't know what the full world, I think Tal'Dorei, whatever it's called, is not super unique. You know, it's a typical kind of fantasy world. It's got some unique features, but it's very much a typical fantasy world, unlike Eberron, which has different stuff going on in it. So it's not like it's system specific to Wildemount. So don't worry about that.
Interesting point too about D&D worlds in general is you don't start playing D&D because you want something unique in terms of the setting. Once you've played a couple of campaigns or one shots, you start thinking, I kind of want to make it more like fantasy or like high magic or like maybe a little like cyberpunky kind of stuff. That's the point when people start exploring other tabletop RPGs because those have that sort of setting. That's
Or homebrew.
Or homebrew, absolutely.
This is the best parts about homebrew is you then take your favorite parts of every setting and then put it together. That's pretty much what I do.
So I kind of want to see how different like our, I don't know, not necessarily background. Like I literally thought of a character that I would want to play for this in terms of like what they want to do, why they're in Chronergy and whatnot.
Sure.
And why?
Before we get there though.
Yeah.
Well, do you think we're done with the stats, the base stuff?
I mean, honestly, yeah.
Now we can get into some heavy duty role playing ideas.
I think so.
Okay. All right. So role playing, the next step for RP before you have your character made out and now you got your subclass. Now you're starting to think, okay, where can I take this? You know, maybe you don't even have a name yet, but you got the race, you got everything figured out. You have the character sheet, but the stuff that's blank is all the background stuff, the bonds, the flaws, everything over there. You don't know where to take it. Well, let's start at the top. So the interesting thing about to me with Wizards is they get a little bit more leeway, I would say, similar to the Ranger for metagaming because they are so smart, so intelligent. They've done all the studying. They've read all these books. So if you inherently know a lot about D&D, this might be a good, you know, you study, you go home and you study the Monster Manual, you study the Player's Handbook. This might be a good class for you to play because obviously talk to your DM about it first. You know, if they don't want metagaming being brought up, then they don't want you to bring in this knowledge, then that's okay. But if they are okay with it, then definitely pick this class because you can just dive into, hey, I know all about the Far Realm because I studied this at home. Or I know all about realm. Yeah, I don't know who's studying the Far Realm at home, but you get the idea. These people are studying constantly. So if you want to role play a very smart, intelligent guy that knows everything, this is probably the guy to go with.
All right.
Is that how you pimped out your character at all?
In a sense, my guy is very obsessive about one thing in particular.
Okay, and, well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and these guys, especially with the schools, it does allow you to either go with what Ryan likes to do, learn everything, put it on your book, catch and play Pokemon with your spell book. Why wouldn't you? It'd be very, very expensive.
As a DM, you have to make sure you're giving these spells to you. If you have a wizard, give them spell books to copy stuff down from.
Well, you could do a very clear mathematical, I guess, equation with all the official spells, and I guess technically at level 20, however many spells you would just get naturally, subtract that from the total of all spells in D&D,
and then 100
gold point per that. So 100 gold point for all the spells, that would be a lot of money.
You could.
Yeah, you could be a rich
boy. Or you could ask the player, hey, what stuff are you interested in?
And just give it to him. That's lame. You gotta make him work for it. So for my guy specifically, there was a show that I've seen, and I won't mention it because I don't want to spoil it, but it is an anime, where a character is able to alter time because of how hot their powers are. Because time technically, like if you go through this angle, exists only because of heat. If there was no heat, there would be nothing and time wouldn't exist, technically. So the heat expansion of the universe there's a theory that it is involved with time, and the hotter something is, the faster time goes or the slower it goes. I can't explain it at all. I haven't studied it at all, but my wizard character, is a fire genasi. And at some point they would have become enamored with time itself and how they can manipulate it. And their method of manipulating time would be with heat, and all their time spells would be flavored with like fire, making things hotter. And that sort of thing. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, how cool is that?
I'm glad I asked you because a lot of the stuff you just said kind of ties into a lot of the other RP points that I have written down here.
Really?
So going along those lines with, you know, you said he's obsessed with one thing. Is that the controlling time with his fire abilities?
Yeah, just the heat expansion of the universe and entropy and whatnot.
Sure. That's not exactly where I was going with this next point, but you could expand on that and go a little farther. Xanathar's has a section at the beginning of all the classes where they talk about RP ideas. Xanathar's was very focused on RP, which I appreciate. They have the whole This Is Your Life section too. But they have three kind of bullet points before the Wizards War Magic subclass. One of them being eccentricity. You know what I'm trying to say.
Eccentricity? Eccentric.
Yeah.
Eccentricity.
Yeah, basically being eccentric. And they have, you know, some ideas. So they're saying if you're a guy, this is something that makes them really unique. I would say all characters arguably should have this, you know, interesting and unique something about them. But this is specifically pointing at the quirks of being an academic, right? You know, someone who's, you know, has had so much isolation studying in their dorm room that they've now created imaginary friends to talk to. Or they just don't cut their hair and it's extremely long.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't trim their beard ever and it just continues to grow and they just, you know, whittle it, you know, whenever they're thinking, they just rub their fingers all the way down. Or as Braxton was kind of saying with the magic of this character, with the way time works, then maybe there's specific rules of magic that they have to follow. They have to do this little dance beforehand. They have to do yoga before they, you know, they're pulling the magic out of the ley lines of the universe and they're kind of getting them inside themselves and got to do this yoga. Something that's odd. So just think about something that makes your character a little more eccentric. They also talk about the spell book. Yeah. We said earlier, the spell book doesn't inherently have to be, you know, a book. Of course, I like the idea of a tome because I'm like a very stereotypical wizard kind of guy. But there's so many other things you could be doing with it. You could be getting tattoos on your body. So every day you have to look over your, find the tattoos you're looking for and make sure you get them all memorized in your noggin. Or you could do something like you have, instead of books, you have like old school tablets, big old stone tablets. Of course, this brings in other logistical problems. You gotta carry around gigantic tablets if we're going, but that could be fun. You gotta carry this gigantic, that makes you, makes it easier to lose this book, I would say. But if you want to go with a tome, then I'd say come up with some cool stories. Have some ideas on where you got this spell book from. Maybe you stole it from a wizard. You're holding it for him, and you decided to check out these stories, these spells, and now you're stuck into this world. But it doesn't have to be traditional, so think about that. Then it also has the last bullet point was your ambition. So Braxton said his character is, you know, wants to, you know, his ambition maybe is to go and try to see how much power he can garner in controlling time. Maybe he had some tragedy to happen in his past. I want to control time to go back.
Nobody ever put tragedy in their D&D character story, ever.
Never. It never happens. But your ambitions, why you decided to study magic, you know, what your goals are. Maybe it's power, or you have a thirst for knowledge, or it's maybe something much more simple. You just want to get a lot of money. You want to impress people and people.
You're just
like
this
magic
world's version of a college student. You know how many times it's probably been done?
I mean, yeah, maybe you went to the academy, some academy, a school that your parents just kind of pushed you off to, and you're like, I got a shitload of debt. Yeah, I just want to impress them, and now I'm in debt, and I don't know what to do with my life, so I'm going to go adventuring and try to get enough money to pay off my loans. It might be a very boring character to play, but it could also be interesting. You know,
hey man,
everyone's
it's
character
the reality. Reality can't be boring.
That's a good point. Every character has tragedy. I can imagine seeing a troop of Motley Crue characters that everyone has some terrible tragedy in their backstory, and this guy's like, man, I just got money. I just got to pay off my loans, dude. Can I go around
sometimes
and get some gold,
that
please?
Way, sometimes that's what goes on.
But the final thing that, for RP purposes, and I think Brack's a very good point talking about it, is describe your spells when you're casting them. If you're using components instead of an arcane focus, describe the components that you're whipping out. You know, you're pulling out the molasses and you're slowing things, or I love the idea of components because they're super cool, and you can have a whole quest to go get these. I mean, Braxton's done a very, not really a full quest, but in game, he's like, evident. I need to get this pickled tentacle kit. Where can I get one? And he's like, you know what, man, I can get one over here. I can't get one over. And he decided to get sand anyway. He's like, I'm going to take a quick trip over here and get sand. Of course, if it's more of a crazy component, that could be a whole quest. Hey, guys, I really need to go get this specific material. It's probably up in these mountains. Let's go see if we can find it real quick.
I would, and specifically for that, like, very on topic with this, think about your levels ahead of time, because it's not going to feel great when you've leveled up and you've just picked this and you have your level and for like several sessions you don't have it. That's on the player.
Yeah,
you need to communicate with your DM before you level up so they can set it for when you hit that level and it's just right at the back.
And that idea only really works if your campaign is a little slower. If it's constantly like save the world kind of idea and you got to keep moving, or if it's Distraught where you're stuck in a certain area and you just don't have the liberty to go off to who knows where to go get this certain flower that you need for the spell, it can make things a little more difficult. That's where the arcane focus comes in. It's a little less fun for me, but you can obviously flavor the arcane focus to be whatever you want it to be. For Braxton's case, it could be a watch that he's, you know, dangling around. That's what he focuses this arcane energy from. But flavor your spells. The spells, a lot of them in the player's handbook and in, you know, the other books, they will tell you how they look and how they, what they do. In older editions, it was a little bit more open-ended. And I think you should make it more for your character. We've changed stuff for Braxton's character
all the time.
His is much more of a far realm kind of guy, and he chose this spell that lets you summon things from Tasha's, and it fit. I mean, it fit his character thematically, but the way the creatures looked didn't. And so we're like, let's change how they look to fit, you know, this far realm tentacle crazy creature. And that's, you know, that's fun. That makes things more interesting. It makes you feel like your character has an impact, especially if you're a wizard channeling this energy for this time stuff, for this fire genasi. The fire is going to, you know, the time is going to look a little more fiery. There's going to be some flame effects going around. It's very cool.
I love doing that sort of things. Quick question. What's up, what exactly man? Is a spellcasting focus?
A spell. So a spellcasting focus. Great question, Braxton. It's not specific to wizards. A lot of them, like clerics, have them. It's their divine focus that they touch. It basically lets you replace a spell components with
all of them,
unless it's a monetary one. So like you need 500 gold pieces of diamonds. Your arcane focus doesn't replace that. But if you have an arcane focus or you want to have one, then it replaces just like the molasses that you need for some spells.
Ryan.
What, man?
My invocation. Sorry, we're going to Warlocks real quick. My invocation for Hexblade makes my guy dang weapon into a
spellcasting focus.
Yes!
Why you have that if you have... Does it do other stuff?
Well, it gives you +1 to attack and damage rolls, and then improved the superior pact weapon gives +2.
Well, there you go. But see, isn't it fun to go out and get these
it's
components?
Is fun, but I'm keeping
man.
This in mind. Future reference. Oh my goodness, Christ! It's really, arcane, Braxton?
They replace these other things. It's handy.
Read your shit, guys.
Yeah, and talk to your DM too. Like Braxton was talking about how maybe this world time. You know, heat speeds up time or something. Talk to your DM and see if there's specific how magic works in your world, in the world that you're going to be playing in. Are there ley lines that you're pulling magic from, or is there a god that created magic and gift? Like in my world, there's a god that created magic, gifted to humanity by placing like runes inside their body, and that's how the magic is able to move through their body. And so to be able to cast these spells, you have to go through and get these specific runes into your body, and that way everyone knows who wizards are in the world. It's kind of, you know, makes things a little more interesting. But think about that. Think about what makes if it's regular magic, then sure.
Another reason that's super important too, because in my case, like within my backstory, it sets a rule about the universe that fire or heat does this certain thing, and if that's not written into your DM, like sure they can roll with it off the bat, but it could be something really great too if you prepare it ahead of time and you don't want to assume things about a DM's world, because you might step over their feet if they're the type of person that really likes to put flavor into, and they've worked really hard. This communication is super important.
And they're a good DM to work with you on it, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, for the divination guy, maybe you've seen some terrible end times, and you don't want to assume what those are. You give your DM an opportunity, like, what can you tell me about your big bad evil guy?
You divined it.
You defined it. So a lot of cool things like that I think wizards can particularly do. RP for both.
Well, it's a thought that I had about divination too when I was talking about metagaming earlier. Divination, if you're casting a divination spell and instead of, you know, divining with certain entities, you could divine with your players outside of the game. You talk to your Joe, sit next to you and be like, hey, Joe, what spells seriously do you think I should prepare for this? I mean, we know it's going to be a basilisk. What spells are good for basilisks? You know, again, because they're divining or because they're, you know, just so intelligent. I argue you might be able to have these extra means of.
If you guys are already really great at not metagaming.
Yeah. Odds are you constantly are already asking your players, oh my God, your teammates that you've, you know, oh my God, I don't know what spells to take. Please help me.
Yeah. That's always going to overwhelm me if and when I ever do a class that needs to prepare spells, because as a warlock, when I do a rest, I just like refresh everything.
All right, long rest done.
Pretty much. I'm sure D&D Beyond probably does a pretty good thing where it asks you what spells you want to prepare, or on the spell sheet, you can click and choose and whatnot. And then there's the idea that honesty is the best policy too. You know how many times somebody's probably prepared certain spells. What DM's gonna like look over you and make sure that you've prepared the correct spells, and that if on that day you didn't have that one, your DM goes, no, that kind of stuff. So that's what I think about when I think about wizards and that whole idea as well. So here's the warlock one. Oh God, it's gonna be like an entire year until we get there.
I mean, we did a pretty good job with this one. Didn't take too
I had a lot
long.
Of fun. No. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. So
you can pump these out a little sooner, probably.
If you want. Yeah. So it's always an option. And I honestly, the longer we do the dungeon crawl, I honestly feel like we're not going to run out of ideas, because if we do, then we just look back on our previous episodes. Do we maintain the same opinion, or have we improved on what we say, and can we make it better? Like, honestly.
And D&D is constantly adding new stuff.
Always. So I'm super excited about, like, installments like this specifically, because they're kind of, they're timeless in a sense until, like, maybe it just completely gets removed or altered. But I'm stoked. So we have, I'm sure, a wide range of skill level in players, or how much they've actually done D&D. So whether you're a veteran or like myself, quote unquote, a veteran, at least in the context of 5e, and you've only ever played one subclass, maybe this is useful for you. Or if you're brand new and you know absolutely nothing about D&D and you're trying to find a class, hopefully this is something useful for you. I don't know. Any last words, Ryan?
Was it fun, man?
Nah.
Nothing. All right. Cool. If you combine that with you multi-class into an artificer, you get really crazy with it.
I think multi-classing with wizards is something you should always do.
Always, wow.
Because level 18 and 20 shit is dumb. For a warlock, your level 20, your Mystic Arcanum stuff is too cool.
Ugh. True.
There's a lot of cool things. Maybe we'll do advanced guides like multi-class.
We didn't really talk about feats either, but there aren't really, honestly.
I mean, there's some obvious choices depending on like spellcasting flexibility stuff that improves what you can do, etc.
I don't know. I don't really like any of the feats for wizards. I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, I haven't thought about the ones past the player's handbook. I haven't looked at the ones in Tasha's and Xanathar's, but I Warcaster is nice, but you're not really getting up close and personal too often. I mean, how often you just, you know, get higher constitution, maybe you'll be fine.
Well, I mean, there's that one class that allows you to, and I don't think it's, maybe it is conjuration, the one that allows you to spawn a little dude, and you also at some point get the ability to swap places with somebody you can see within 30 feet of you if they're willing. So, but most of the time you probably use that in the reverse form to get out of shit, you know, stuff like that. All righty. Cool beans. So if you guys disagree with everything that we have said about the wizard and you want to give us your dissertation on that, the place that you won't do that probably is on social media. Maybe Twitter. Mm-hmm. Multi-threaded Twitter at us, at Dungeon Crawl Pod, both Twitter and Instagram. But if you want to put it in a nice essay form, thedungeoncrawlpod@gmail.com. There's also a Discord that exists to which you can find the link somewhere in the description below. I was actually looking at the people that are in, and there's more than I remember now. So at some point, people popped in. You should probably get a notification thing that tells us when people join. We'd love to have your little ugly mug in the form a name and a profile icon picture in there. Chat with us about things and whatnot. Ryan, what do you have?
What's up, man?
What do you have?
Oh, I mean, you know, I don't really have too much. I just, we're starting a new year, you know. And I just,
you're new us.
Yeah, it's just I don't want to be a bother, you know. I don't want to get in someone's way, but it really would help me out a lot if people just go over to iTunes or Apple Podcast, you know, find us, you know, you and me, the Dungeon Crawl.
That's us
on there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal, but could just hit the 5 stars button and go down to the review area and then write something like, wow, this is the best kind of podcast I've ever listened to. I mean, it's you don't have to, right? But I mean, it'd mean a lot if you did.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
Just a little doobly do. Say a little thing. Give us a little wink. Just one wink. Or a double wink.
Ooh, like the double wink.
The double wink.
That's hot.
It is hot, man. It's twice as hot. You got two eyes. You got to wink them both.
For our video listeners, video watchers, I want to apologize. Blame Discord for the weird video glitches every so often. Yeah, first, because sometimes the internet on my end or your end kind of glitches out and you get all pixelated for a little bit. Don't blame Brax and don't blame me. Blame Discord.
It's perfect on my end. We could eventually just record it itself.
Yeah, but we can see ourselves.
It's a pain. The world's tough. 2021.
Just wait till you're here, man. We'll buy a studio and we can all record often.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, for the next 9 years, 2020 will be in the pronunciation of every year that we have. Think about it. 2020 is never going to leave us. That's why you got to kick it into submission.
Jesus.
Strangle it.
strangle it by listening to our podcast.
Restrain it. Grapple it, maybe. Take it up against us. Acrobatics versus athletics check.
You know what we need to do at some point? We need to get an outro noise. We won't have
We should have an outro noise, yeah.
Just dragon, like, pooping us out or something. I don't know.
We're running out of the dungeon. Right. So what's next week, Brax? Any ideas, or should we just leave it open-ended? Maybe we don't know.
Maybe we'll do the school. Schools of Magic.
That could be fun. We talk about our favorite spells from each group. Some maybe unappreciated spells that I wish people took more often.
Yeah, let's
Some spells that we hate.
I'm down for that. Spells and schools and magics and things. We'll set it in stone.
We probably should. If we were smart, we probably should have done it backwards.
Smart.
We talk about spells first, then we talk about the wizards that use the spells, but...
Well, now we can say, hey, we talked about wizard before. Here's some spells you can use.
I like that. Yeah, you made your class. Now what spells do you pick?
Because you don't get all the spells under the sun. Here's some spells your DM can give to you in a spell book. Nice and fancy.
Yeah.
Thank you, as always. He has been Ryan.
He's been Ryan.
You messed up this time. I didn't. I would like that to go on record.
Well, my defense. Okay, it's flipped. So.
Slipped for me. I messed that up every time.
Whatever, dude. You know,
2021, new me. New year.
Whatever, man.
Goodbye.
See you next week.